Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Well, it's great to have you with us for the third week of Racing Rivals, and what a treat we have for you this week with two NASCAR Hall of Famers in Mark Martin and Rusty Wallace. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Mark, I'm going to kick you off first and just say, in your thoughts, after your immensely successful career, what constitutes a great rivalry?
Hard racing, you know, every week, just going at it, you know, in pretty much just those two. That's really what creates a rivalry, is either it's one or the other that's winning.
Rusty, how about for you?
Well, you know, when I think about rivalries, I think about maybe you don't like the guy you're racing. That's quite the opposite with Mark. I really like Mark. I think he's a fantastic guy. But he's one of the fellas, when I was driving, I wanted to run as good as him and beat him, because if I beat him, I was beating the best. And to me, that was kind of the rivalry aspect of it. Man, when I was able to run door-to-door with Mark, I knew I was having a good day, because he most of the time ran great almost every single race. And he's not only is a great race car driver, he's just a great person in general. So I guess you can call that a rivalry.
Mark, when was the first time, as two kids growing up in the Midwest, when was the first time you can remember hearing about or seeing or racing Rusty Wallace?
So in 1976, I was still racing late model dirt cars. And we raced, I think it was Paducah, Kentucky or somewhere like that, and on Saturday night. And Sunday was the Dry Power 400 at Winchester. And so we went Sunday, we went to the Winchester 400. And there was this beautiful red number 66 car there. Of course, Larry Phillips was there. We knew Larry from Springfield, Missouri. Larry had actually built the chassis of my late model dirt car, and Larry was there and some others. But we saw this red 66 car, and every pit crew member was dressed in beautiful white pants and Cam 2 red t-shirts. And I mean, they just looked like a million bucks. And this red 66 ran pretty good, ran top five all day. It was this kid from St. Louis, Missouri. And as I found out later, once I started racing every Friday night in Springfield the next year in 77, Rusty also raced every Friday night at Springfield. And of course, Larry Phillips was there, and Larry raced there as well. Rusty and I never really had rivalry. We always got along really, really good. We started racing against each other in 1977 on a weekly basis and raced until he retired in 2005. Never once had a real problem, a real dust-up. A couple different times we had a couple, you know, little accidents or something to talk about. But Rusty was an incredible, incredible competitor, a lot of fun, and always a friend of mine. And we shared a lot of information. We weren't afraid to tell one another, you know, if I asked him what he was running for a setup, he would tell me. If he asked me, I would tell him. We always figured the best man would win. But I have so many great stories about racing with Rusty that date back way before NASCAR. Racing at Springfield, racing against Larry Phillips, and he and I were the young teenagers trying to beat the master, and all the great times that we had.
So, Rusty, two questions. When do you first remember encountering Mark Martin, and do you still have any of those white trousers?
Yeah, I sure do. I've got those white pants. Yeah, we really wanted to look good at the racetrack, you know. We wanted to show up and have our people happy and the sponsors happy and all that stuff. But I first remember Mark when he came in and started running these short track cars up in the Midwest, and his stuff was the same way. Always looked beautiful, orange and white, great colors, cool pit crew. But the thing about Mark, he was fast. Everywhere he went, he was the guy to beat. And he's a real innovator, too. I'll never forget, Mark talked about Winchester, Indiana. I remember going to Winchester, Indiana, and Mark running that race on with three springs in his car. He had so much left side weight in his car, he didn't need a right rear spring. And people are going, what in the world was that all about? But Mark was constantly thinking about things, and that innovation and thinking out of the box got Mark where he is right now, in my opinion.
I was chatting with a dear old friend before we turned on our respective computers this morning, Ken Martin, who's at the NASCAR Hall of Fame and NASCAR historian. And he was telling me, in his opinion, that your respective careers and rivalry, if we want to put it that, but even though we've already discussed not a true rivalry, your careers were in such wonderful parallel. And maybe you didn't have one of those aggressive, you know, nose-to-nose, head-to-head rivalries because you had so much respect for each other of where you came and you walked a similar path. Is that fair, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we walked a very similar path. Rarely, you know, we would veer off a little bit. Rusty did USAC stock cars before he did NASCAR. You know, but he did short track cars, late model cars, ASA stuff, you know, the same as I did. He did do some USAC stock car stuff. He dipped his toe in NASCAR at a super early age with Roger Penske. He was amazingly fast, nearly won Atlanta, you know, ran second in Atlanta when he was still, gosh, a teenager, I think, and did amazing. But somehow or another, that fell apart, and he wound up back, you know, racing a lot, you know, with the late models and stuff where I was at. Then I dipped my toe in NASCAR, you know, and had some success early and then had a failure and went back. And about the time I went back, Rusty went full-time NASCAR racing. So, you know, it took me a while to get back there with him. But it was really difficult in the early 80s to break into NASCAR because you had Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison and Richard Petty and Benny Parsons and Dale Earnhardt and, you know, Bobby Allison and all these, you had all these superheroes and nobody was interested in a young kid driver and at all, because you had all this experience of these legendary greats. It was really hard to break in, and Rusty and I, you know, fought and clawed our way in through winning races and championships and you know, getting the attention. But it took us years to break in. It's not like it is today. Jeff Gordon changed all that. He came in as a young driver, super talented, and had success with Rick Hendrick. And then the whole racing industry started looking at that young driver as a, you know, differently than it did in the 80s when Rusty and I were trying to break in.
Rusty, could a young driver do what you and Mark did back then in kind of attempting and launching your Cup career at a very young age and then experiencing a setback and then making it to Cup and then obviously going on to Hall of Fame? Do you think a young driver could do that and achieve that these days?
I think it'd be really tough, Lee, I really do, because if a driver comes in right now and he fails, there's really not much of a second chance. I haven't seen that. Mark and I think one of the things that really helped Mark and I was understanding our cars. And that's one thing I really enjoyed doing. We were always working on the cars, working on the chassis, really, really involved in everything. Nowadays, a young driver, he's basically told to drive that car, take care of the sponsors, do the best job he can behind the wheel. But the car is really the team's job to do that. And I've noticed a lot of young guys that they try to tip their toe or put their toe in and say, hey, I want to do this to the car. I want to change that. The teams really don't like that much. And so, but Mark and I did, we did a ton of that. I mean, I think him and I both could recite every setup that was in our cars when we won the races nowadays. I mean, we could just talk about it and understand, and that would be it. But nowadays, you got to get in, you got to get it done. If you don't get it done, you're like, ah, this guy doesn't know how to do it. And he doesn't get a second chance, in my opinion, the way maybe we had. I don't think we ever had second chances, Mark and I did. I think that we just had a win, man. We had a win. We had to perform on the American Speed Association, USAC, like I did. We had to get the job done. And by doing that, I got the phone call from Gatorade and a guy named Cliff Stewart down south, come drive my car. Then Penske's watching me. He puts us in a car, actually before that. But it was all about performing. And for me, I'll never forget the day that I won the championship. And Roger told me back in 1980 what Mark was talking about. He said, hey, kid, this is really messing up my IndyCar program, all the focus I'm putting on this. He said, go get some more experience. And hopefully one of these days, our paths will cross again. And so I'll never forget when I won the championship in 89, I called Roger and I said, hey, boss, do I have enough experience now? And Roger said, heck yes, let's start a team. And that's how it happened. But it was all that short track racing and focusing on making those cars run fast that got us all on the radar. And Mark was just beating everybody so bad in the American Speed Association, built his own car, took it up to Martinsville, I believe I'm right, Mark, I'm not for sure, but went there and just flew with those NASCAR guys. And Mark got on the radar real fast by what he was able to accomplish. And granted, going into it, everybody knew who Mark Martin was. They knew who Rusty was too. But I think that just performing on the racetrack on a consistent basis is what helped us both.
Well, folks, I can't tell you how excited these two guys were to see each other, albeit via Zoom. So you spent decades together in the garage, in the owner-driver's lot. When was the last time you two got to see each other face-to-face?
Gosh, back in January, Rusty and I got to get together for 3 days and two nights. Man, it was an awesome outing with a lot of old racers, and it's kind of like a family reunion. So really did enjoy that, and it's so good to see your old buddies. I mean, you know, Rusty and I go all the way back to 1977. And like I said, always had a really good relationship, always had a lot of fun, raced really hard, and both of us really shared a lot in common. We were really focused on our race cars, and nothing, you know, no stone left unturned when it came to looking for speed in a race car.
All right, almost out of time. Rusty, The numbers, the stats don't lie. You were probably better than Mark on the short tracks. Mark was maybe had a little edge on the intermediate tracks over you. But who was the better road racer between the two of you?
Oh, man. I'm not even going there. Mark Martin can flat drive a road course car. There's no doubt about that. And I was pretty proud of myself, too. So, I mean, if we went side by side nowadays, it'd probably be a tie, you know, or Mark might edge me a little bit. I don't know. But I just really love old Mark Martin. He's a cool dude. And he just was mentioning how we got together in January. We were all out in Glamis, California, driving sand rail cars in the desert, you know. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm so happy that Mark Martin's in the Hall of Fame. He's so deserving. And it's cool that we can stand side by side knowing that our careers went the way they went. And we both made it in the Hall of Fame together. That was really, that's awesome.
Well, it's been a lot of fun the past couple of weeks. First of all, with Michael Andretti and Paul Tracy from IndyCar, and last week Ricky Carmichael and Chad Reed from Supercross and Motocross. And we're going to wrap it up in a similar way this week, where Mark, I'll ask you first, and then Rusty, you have to finish this sentence for me, Mark. Rusty Wallace is
an incredible racer.
That's good. That's simplistic. Rusty, for you, Mark Martin is
the driver I respect probably the most on the NASCAR circuit.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. Stay well, stay healthy. Enjoy whatever you're doing now. And congratulations to both of you on being NASCAR Hall of Famers. And thanks for joining us on Racing Rivals.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.